Well, sorry, just starting our recording. So today we've reached our ninth Sermon on the Mount series, and we're going to be looking at this one: "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God." And I think actually today is the day, coincidentally, about where we remember those who are persecuted across the world. But before we start, I wanted to just show you a few photos, and I'd like you to unmute yourself if you'd like to, and tell me what eras some of these fashions are from. So the one on the left, who would like to tell me where, what kind of people they were, what kind of era we're in here? On the left. Come on, that's easy. Be bold, as Jenny said. Who'd like to tell me?
Victorian.
Very good, thanks. Thank you. Okay, the one on the right. Some of us will remember this.
70s.
The 70s, yeah. Definitely, Angela. Did you have some of that gear?
Oh, yes, I did.
I bet you did.
And the afro.
And they had the afro, great. Okay, so what about this one? We've got the one on the far left. Who'd like to tell me when that is?
The 50s.
Pardon?
The 50s.
Yeah, it said 60s, but I think 50s, 60s, very similar, that, isn't it? That's right. It's that very kind of tight bodice and then kind of A-line skirt. Yeah. What about...
Hairstyles as well.
Yeah, definitely. Talking of hairstyles, what about the one in the middle?
That's now, isn't it?
That's now, yeah. 2015, it's the beards, they're back, aren't they? Yeah. Isaac is a friend of ours, and he has a particularly bushy beard. It's not looking too bad there, but he does grow a very bushy beard. I thought it'd be good to have a picture of him. It makes me laugh how these fashions come back, don't they? And then what about the one on the right?
The 1920s, isn't it?
1920s, all those flapper girls, they look great, don't they? So the reason I'm showing you these is because from an early age, we learn to blend in, to conform with the norms of our society so we won't stand out. And we see it most clearly in children and young people, in fashions. Everybody follows the same fashion in the clothes we wear, the way we have our hair. And of course, when we look back at photos, like just listening to Angela reminiscing there about what she was like in the 70s, we laugh and we think, goodness, what on earth were we looking like? But of course, that was the fashion and we wore it. But our gospel reading today, Jesus speaks about standing out and being different. He says, if you belong to the world, you would love it as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, and that's why the world hates you. And this is a tricky concept, isn't it? Being in the world, but not of the world. Because we're obviously living on earth and we're quite clearly part of the world around us. And it's really important that we are, that we fully engage with everything that goes on in our community, in our country, and in our wider world. And yet, Jesus is saying that he's chosen us out of the world. So what does this mean? It means that as Christians, we're choosing to make following Jesus a priority in our lives over and above the world that we live in. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't adhere to the laws and the rules of our society, of course, of which at present there are an awful lot, which we'd probably rather not be adhering to. But what we should be doing is seeking above all else to follow God's commandments, and especially the two greatest commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and to love your neighbour as yourself. We should be seeking to live our lives in righteousness, which means that what we looked at before, which is a right relationship with God. And it will mean that at times we will be in conflict with the ways of the world. And when we reach those moments of conflict, Jesus is asking us to stand out, rather than to blend in. It could be small things like not swearing, blaspheming, not taking a God's name in vain, or not lying, or not gossiping about other people. It could be about sticking to the rules and not bending them, as we're often tempted to do. I remember when my children were young, I was quite strict about what films they were allowed to watch. I wouldn't let them watch a 12 until they were 12, because I felt that the guidance was there for a reason. I know they've sort of put it a bit more flexibly now, but when they were younger, it was more of an absolute. But I still think if there's guidance like that, we should stick to it. And most times we won't feel that we do stick out if we behave in a righteous kind of way. And certainly most of us won't be persecuted, even if we do. I remember at work before I had children, on several occasions, people would swear in front of me and then they'd apologise. And I'd never told anybody off for swearing. I'd never told them about my faith particularly, but I think they maybe just noticed that I didn't swear and therefore they didn't want to offend me. But 2 Timothy says that, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted. Perhaps many of us have experienced the odd jibe or comment about our faith. And some people will have experienced some level of bullying or negativity. I think this is particularly the case for children and young people in schools. I think it can be really hard at times. But also for people working in businesses, maybe where bosses want to cut corners and do things that we as Christians know in all honesty, we just can't do. And we would have to refuse to do that. But generally in this country, we don't face persecution for our faith in the way that other people in other parts of the world do. I just want to talk to you today a little bit about another place in the world. I was looking on the Open Doors website. I don't know if you've heard of Open Doors, but they're a charity that supports Christians who face persecution across the world. And this is a picture of Alba and her children, Daniela, who's 12, and Sebastian, who's 5, and they're from Colombia. And I got their story off the website. I've shortened it a bit. You might not think of Colombia as a place where Christians face a great deal of persecution, but the country is home to violent and powerful criminal groups and drug cartels. And they don't like Christians, like Plinio, who was Alba's husband and who was father to Daniela and Sebastian. And they try to stop them. In 2019, in August, Plinio was murdered because of his faith. He was a pastor in La Corcana, which is a dangerous part of Colombia. But Plinio knew that it was part of his ministry to his community to speak out against organized crime and help prevent young people being recruited. Alba remembers the day when her husband paid the ultimate price for his ministry. "I was working in the kitchen with some other women," Alba says. Plinio had gone to church to pray. When he came back, he sat and watched the news. It was a very peaceful day. She pauses. "Suddenly I heard gunshots. Plinio was shot twice, murdered in his own home." Open Doors got alongside this family. They helped to give them some holiday away and time away where they could have some therapy and healing. They then saw how dangerous the area was where they lived, and they arranged for a new house for them in a safer area. This was only possible through the gracious prayers and gifts of our supporters, an Open Doors worker says. Alba wants to open a sewing workshop in her home. So they helped her to do that and help the children move through their trauma. It then goes on to say that many families in Colombia are still in danger. In the region where they lived, 2 other pastors were recently killed by gangs for preaching the gospel. Drug traffickers see the church as threatening their way of life. Many pastors and their families are vulnerable and live with the fear of threats being carried out or the tragic consequences, if they already have been. Open Doors helps these families by giving them pastoral and psychological support, financial aid, and in some most harmful cases, a permanent home for children in the children's centre. So I would just really recommend that as a website for you to have a look at, to get more information about the persecution of Christians that's going on around the world today. And they have a list of the most dangerous places in the world and videos that describe the life in those places. And when you watch them, it makes you so grateful for the freedom that we have in this country to follow our faith. It also makes me think that I should be braver in standing up for my faith, in not being afraid to say what I believe and why. And if necessary, to take a different stand to those around me. And perhaps this is the hardest thing for me, and maybe for you. It's knowing that others will disagree with me and my view on life. And it's hard arguing our faith. But I think the thing about faith is it's very personal. It's what I believe and what I've experienced. And I would say in this country, I have generally found that people are very respectful of each other's beliefs, even if they don't understand them. So for me, being in the world, but not of the world as a Christian, means seeking to follow the example of Jesus in the way that I live my life. So trying to approach life with the same love and compassion that he did. And also having the same sense of justice and wanting to abide not just by the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law as well, as was summed up in those two greatest commandments. And when we do live fully for Jesus in this way, there is a cost. We may find that there are times when people don't agree with us, or we may even suffer some level of opposition or discrimination, even if we're not persecuted to the terrible extent that some people in other parts of the world are today. A passage I was reading about this beatitude said this: to speak our faith, even here today, has a cost and will place us in the uncomfortable and yet blessed position of siding with the poor, yearning for justice, giving voice to the voiceless, and fighting to save our beautiful, fragile world. So looking at our beatitude today, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. They're persecuted for righteousness. It's not great to be persecuted for any reason at all, but Jesus is talking here particularly about those who are persecuted for living their lives in a right relationship with God, because others don't like that always. But Jesus says that these people will be blessed, and that's something we can remember and hold on to when we have to take a stand about something. And it goes on to say, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If we go right back to the first beatitude, which said, blessed are the poor in spirit, that one also said, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So just to remind you, what that means is that those people who have that childlike trust in God, who've put God's kingdom before their own self-interest, those people will enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. So two things just to encourage you with as we finish today. First of all, do be reading and praying for Christians across the world who are persecuted for their faith. I've been reading that at the moment, in this time of COVID, even though people aren't necessarily facing death, they're often, as Christians, bottom of the social pile. So when it comes to things like giving out food and other supplies that are needed, it's very hard for those to get them to get those. So do be praying for those people. And secondly, let's be people who are bold to live out our faith. A bit like Jenny said at the beginning, we stand on the rock. We need to be a little bolder to stand up for justice, to actively work to save our world that God has created, and to follow the example of Jesus in the way that we love others. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that we do not face persecution in this country in the way that many others do across our world. We do want to cry out to you for those many people who are in fear of their lives this very day, and yet to hold on to their faith. We also pray, Lord, that you would make us bolder to be those who stand up for you, who seek always to be having you as number one in our lives, and to be loving our neighbour and seeking to stand up where we see injustice, and in order to try and preserve and care for this beautiful world that you have created for us. Amen.
Yeah.